We will now go to our last agenda item for the day.
Second from last.
Yes, sir. The last. Yes, second is the follow-up to the meeting. Yeah.
And this is our agenda topic. Nobody there at the table. But I will start it off. So I thought I'd start it off with why are we doing this? And it's really from the action plan that you asked me to develop to promote effective and respectful board governance. And so board governance requires actual work and commitment among the board to do that work. So this is one of the first steps for working on our governance. I think it will also provide concise orientation material for new board members. If we can get some stuff decided on and in short form to really orient new board members. And I think in some cases, depending on what we're working on, it will provide greater clarity to board members and department staff about expectations, which are important. So in the staff report, I had the list that were identified during my individual board meetings about potential governance topics. And as a follow-up to the interviews and action plans, I asked all the board members, and there wasn't a clear consensus on what governance topic to tackle first. And so I went to the governor's membership handbook for boards and commissions, and it makes recommendations and a set of expectations, and I kind of highlighted that in the attachment. It recommends that boards do have a set of written bylaws, and that it should include expectations of members. And then talking, one of the other things, in talking to people that work on governance, they say that behavior and expectations are fundamental to effective and respectful governance. So that's item three on the staff report, the bulleted ones. It was the third topic. And so in order to facilitate the discussion, I went through the handbook and compiled, you know, the expectation the governor states throughout that handbook. I forget how many pages it is, 17, 18 pages, and condensed down what I thought, and then Hillary reviewed it for me and caught a couple others. But I compiled down into a set of expectations that come from the governor. And then there were some that came up in our conversations, and so there are four that came up in conversation with board members. So I've compiled those together, and so that's what's in the attachment. That's the first part of the attachment. And the other part is that we do have one set of administrative rules around, our hearings and when we have civil penalty cases and all that. And another set, which is on about board governance, and that's item Division 10 in 526 in the Oregon Administrative Rules. We need to clean those up anyway because statutes have changed and Administrative Procedure Act has changed. So I wanted to add that in here. There's an opportunity to talk about, do we want to weigh in on those as we change them? And it'd probably be just the board governance ones. So kind of the objectives today is either the board adopts a set of, either the board adopts a set of expectations for including into the bylaws, or at least set next steps for adopting a set of expectations. And then whether the second objective is the board would agree to put in writing key policy procedures used for board processes, ones that aren't covered by statutes that we can, you know, put in writing and be documented somewhat. And one of them that I would think would be good would be, you know, we just completed our process for developing 2-year agendas and work plans. And for the new board members, this is the first time they've done it. But I don't know if that was ever given to board members on orientation. So, and if it was, it got lost in, you know, the hundreds of pages. So having that in a concise place might be a good example. And you would know, oh yeah, here's where we, how we is, you know, how we've adopted, a procedure to set agendas. And again, that way we could look at that on an annual basis, depending on where we put these policies, and update it to make it, you know, more adaptable as we go on. Again, then the last two is just a decision on whether you want input and process, if so, on the administrative procedures revision. And then finally, to close out, which topic do we want to cover next? So questions at this point?
Well, and it seems like at a minimum, the board ought to be meeting these expectations that the governor's office has laid out in the board handbook. And whether we do that by reference or whether we have, you know, our own bylaws that incorporate some of those things, I mean, that's, I think, a topic for discussion for the board. But I think we ought to have a commitment that we recognize what's spelled out in terms of, you know, board behavior. I think there's a lot of really good stuff in that, and that we ensure that we're operating in a manner that is consistent.
I think the suggestion by reference seems wise. I don't know how much time and energy we want ourselves or.
And if something is in statute, the best thing in my mind is to simply repeat that, because when you start to interpret it, then you get into issues. I mean, we should just follow what the statute says. But I agree with you about reference. I mean,
your idea. Good thing.
So, yeah, so in terms of the expectations, would you have recognized
those that are pertinent, yeah.
The number that come out of the governor's handbook, is there any usefulness in having them bulleted like this? Is there any usefulness having them pulled into sort of a one-pager?
I mean, I think so, for especially onboarding new board members. What is it? How are we going to do business? How are we going to, in fact, when I came as a board, I was kind of expecting that, you know, and I didn't really receive that. You know, how do you operate as a board? I mean, it's a lens that you look through when you sit on a board, which is a little different lens. I mean, we're part of a team, right? I mean, this is a team that we're sitting at, and we make decisions as a team, and we may not all agree. In fact, we probably won't, you know, and that's okay. We bring different points of view and different biases and different, you know, histories to our decisions and stuff. And that's all part of being on a board. I think one of the things that I like looking at these bullets. I like thinking about this. I relate a lot of this as my board work on a school board where we onboard school board members. We, you know, because a lot of times you bring on the school board members who've never really sat on a board. You know, they've really never been a part of something. So that's very important. But one of the bullets say, you know, you're going to listen to all viewpoints and work as a cohesive group to create a form of developing good policies and provision, finding fair solutions to problems. And I think that's great. I think one of the things I don't really see here is, and one of the things that I think about as serving on a board is that, I may not agree with the decision ultimately, but once the decision is made, I need to support it. Yeah, I'm a member of the team, you know, and I think that's an important lens, I think, to look through. But for myself personally, I mean, we're going to make decisions that I may not agree to. In fact, it's happened this year, right? I mean, you know, but once that decision's made, I think you have to support that decision to move forward because that keeps the body moving forward. I mean, that keeps our board making progress and not rehashing things or not, you know, pulling things back up. So that's the only thing I don't really see here. Is that, I guess. I just add that.
Two quick things. First of all, I agree with you that something like this would have been helpful for a new board member, especially somebody who hasn't served on a board before, because what I received when I was on the board of trustees for OSU was something like this, and everybody had it. Everybody kind of knew the rules of the road, so I agree with that. The other is the issue of supporting a decision once the decision is made. I would amend that slightly and say that we accept the decision that's been made and we move forward. I still may not support it, but it is what it is, and on we go.
Yeah. I think it's the intent of that, right? I mean, support, it's really the intent. I agree. I mean, you may never agree with it, but you have to understand that that effectively the team made that decision. And so anyway,
you know, as we were talking about orientation, I think it might be good as one of the things that would be given to do new board members is something that's kind of calendar based. And this is what the board does every meeting. This is what the board does every quarter. This is, you know, we have the Forest Trust Lands presentation every meeting. We, you know, all the way. So what are all the things that happen kind of through a year, and then biennial. And on a biennial basis, the board does this. I think that's just a couple of pager, but just these are the responsibilities, and then maybe other things that aren't so calendar based, like, you know, petitions, and how that works. I don't think there's anything in that handbook that was quite like that.
No, and that's covered in I think it's in the APA is what, but it's also referenced, I think, perhaps in the Forest Practice Act. But again, you know, how much of that do we want to pull out? It's there. It's, you learn it, but.
You learn it. Yeah, but, absolutely.
But I like the calendar idea is a great one for the daily route, what you're going to see at every board meeting.
Prepare yourself. You'll get this.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have the consent calendar. You're going to just really basic, but
yeah.
And what that is.
And I think that there is a document out there for your process for strategic planning and work
right.
plan development, which we just completed that runs really from the active part is from September through today when you made the decision, which will set your work for the next 2 years within interim places to come in. And one of the things you've talked about as a board is having greater frequency of checking on that. And so one of the calendar things we will be working on is a list of upcoming board topics in a calendar form, at least sort of a 3-month look ahead. So this is a really good one.
And Peter, I'd like to sort of chime in with Joe's. I think the one pager on the member expectations is really useful. It may all be in the governor's membership handbook.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, until you told me when you said you'd drawn this from the governor's membership handbook, I didn't know that handbook existed.
Well, and that's a challenge with orientation. I'm certain I gave all the new board members. I wasn't here for. Yeah,
you know,
but it's yes,
yeah,
I hate to ask as a stupid board member, but I've been here 8 years and I didn't know that handbook was there.
I think that's one of the goals. I think that I think Jim, you said you didn't want to create a lot of unnecessary policy, and I think that's important too. So I think that'll be something, and I don't think it has to be a lot. Yeah. Brenda?
Just to clarify, what I think I'm hearing and what I was referring to is accepting the set of bullets that are from the governor's membership handbook, and we yet still have to discuss the expectations that came from discussions with board members?
That would be good. Thanks. That's on my list for the next.
Is that clear? Okay.
Yeah, for the next steps. And if that's where you think you're ready.
Yeah, sure.
Great. Go ahead. Did you have something on the next one?
Yeah, I just,
I just want to make sure I knew what we were talking about when we said accept the recommendations. We're accepting the recommendations up to the item in italics saying this set of expectations are from the discussion.
So I would suggest just as a potential next step for both those additional four bullets and the administrative rules, the Division 10 stuff, you know, do we like it the way it is? Do we want to go in and actually make changes to them? That it's probably a little premature for us to make a decision on either of those things today, since we, at least I just got this as a new thing. But I think both of those are questions that are worth us spending some time thinking about. And so maybe the next time we have governance on our agenda, we should, as board members, have, you know, really thought about these four bullet points that you have on expectations from discussion with board members, and also have actually reviewed and looked through and given some thought on our own about the Division 10 administrative rules, so that we can have a fruitful and informed discussion about whether or not we think those are good as is or bad as is or something we want to make some changes on.
Well, great. I think that's a good sort of path forward. So what I'm kind of hearing is sort of acceptance of the governor's expectations. It would be useful to have these and a thing. I think we have time. We're scheduled. We still have another 35 minutes to do governance. We have a chance to talk about the ones which would be next. I have one that was suggested to be added, which was, I may not agree with it. You may not agree with a decision, but once a decision is made, need to accept the decision and move forward, which is not on the list. That's, the two things I'd like to do with the list that was suggested by the board is look at them and do they cause you problems, or are they ones you think are useful for having as a group? And then is there anything significant missing? You already jumped to that. You identified one that you thought was significant. And I haven't heard that all board members like that one, but I've heard at least two kind of maybe accept that one as an expectation to add.
Another spin on the same thing that Joe raised and Brenda talked about. I guess I think of it, the word I'd use is to respect the decision, which is slightly different, but I think it's an important difference. Because I think it doesn't mean that at some future date that whoever is proposing whatever it was that maybe didn't happen in that way doesn't have the right to say, you know, at an appropriate time, you know, I'd like to raise this again at some point. But that's different than saying, well, what the board did was really stupid.
I would agree with that. Great. And just sort of maybe thinking about the process for the second ones, let's gather feedback, and then I'll take the feedback and recompile that. If you have it, want me to, I'll recompile that list of board additions. I think if we put them in a set of bylaws we give to new board members, we will always distinguish those that are from the governor in the handbook, and we'll keep those up to date versus what are board additions in your decision, because ones are easier than the other to change.
Peter, a question on that is, the ones from the governor's handbook, is that the complete list, or did you pick the ones you thought were most relevant?
I read the whole thing several times, and I went through it with the idea, I've reworded them a little bit or shortened them, because some of them are just in a text where she's talking about a good board behavior. There are some that are more of a bulleted list. But they're throughout the document, and I did have Hillary review, and she did identify another thing that was an expectation. She said this should be in there too. And so I think I got what I would call expectations. It's always a judgment call when you're distilling a book, but.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that helps, because it just strikes me as the list is that there's some repetition in there. But if that's what, if you were distilling it from a book, then I understand why there might be.
And it sort of, it wasn't exactly the same, but it was.
Right.
So.
Yeah, Rich. And I don't want to dwell on this too much, but that conversation that, Joe and Brenda and Tom have had now, you know, I've been thinking back about my training on through the Oregon School Boards Association and trying to remember what that training was. And at least the way I remember it, so that this may not be accurate by any means, but the way I remember it was, similar to what we've seen here, right? That, by all means, you are supposed to bring, the whole point of having a diverse board is to bring different experiences and expertise and perspectives to that discussion to try to find the best possible, you know, and explore ideas from multiple perspectives and ensure the breadth of public good is represented. And once a decision is made, I guess in my mind, it was closer to support, but kind of distance yourself. I mean, so I always left a board meeting, particularly, you know, if I was in a minority, saying the board made this decision. And these were the reasons why. These were some of the concerns that were raised, but you just try to depersonalize it. Mm-hmm. And you just speak that the board made this decision. And that made sense to me, and that worked for our school board. I don't know if that's like the normal way that it's translated, but, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So moving on from that particular bullet, just looking, you know, if we're going to think some between now and the next time we talk about the 4+1, the 5 additional bullets, the avoid surprising staff bullet is something obviously that we all try to do. And we've got some pre-board briefings that give us an opportunity to raise things. But I've had a number of meetings where I was, because of other conflicts in my life, unable to participate in the pre-board meeting. And I know, and it may just be a failure or a fault in the way I prepare, but when the board book gets mailed to me, I seldom have it high enough on the to-do list that I read it well ahead of time. And so often I find myself reading the board materials thoroughly cover to cover the night before the meeting. And so while I don't like surprising staff, on occasion staff gets surprised because I wasn't able to do my preparation with enough lead time. And so, you know, I think we need to think hard about what, if we're incorporating that particular bullet or that concept in it, we need to make sure we're not tying our hands if other conflicts mean that we didn't have the lead time to warn staff or the director about concerns that we might not have discovered until the night before.
So
I think it's intentional. I think, I mean, the word there is avoid. It's like, it's not, don't ever do it. There's going to be times when you don't need to do it. I think, you know, there's also self-control. You know, none of us need to be showboating in a meeting to show everybody how smart we are. Or blah blah blah, and so yeah, it's just a matter of being thoughtful, I think.
Yes. I think there's a larger underlying issue here, and that is how the board members can work more efficiently and collaboratively with staff prior to issues coming to us. What I have seen over the last year is. And I'm not casting blame on anyone here. It's just an observation. It's incredibly inefficient to have material brought to us. We talk about it. We give some direction. People go back and 3 to 6 months later come back with something and it's better, but it's still not quite what we want. And finally 2 or 4 or 8 years later, we're able to make a decision when I think, my own way of operating would be if a couple of us could just sit down with staff and work through these things when things were brought to us, we could be probably ready, pretty close to go on many of these things. And maybe, I don't know, maybe there are constraints in what we can do, but.
I don't disagree with that at all, but I do think there's been some improvement. I think this issue has been brought up. Why do we, you know, we set this path and then we go on it, even though we know that, you know, that this, I'll go back to the Siskiyou example of them saying we're not going to have enough information, but we're going to spend 6 months more on this process before, you know, that we'll formalize that decision. And, staff heard us and acted on that and checked back in and also I think there has been some improvement on that. And I'm pleased with, things that I've brought up. The example of the last pre-board, I had complained, why not just ask, have staff ask at the beginning, has everybody on the pre-board call had a chance to read all the materials? You and I were on a meeting or on a call and we both said yes. And we just, you know, cut about 45 minutes to an hour out of that meeting. So I feel like we're.
I'm in violent agreement with you, Jim. I agree with everything you said. I just think if we're going to spend some time thinking about how, you know, we govern ourselves or how we behave, I think we need to take a deeper dive into how we function as a board working with the staff in the department just to be more effective and more, particularly more efficient in making decisions.
Yeah,
but that's just my.
Yeah, I mean, what you're hitting on is just communication, and I was the one that brought up this avoid surprises. Mm-hmm. And Cindy, it isn't. I agree. Sometimes you can't, right? I mean, but it is really the intention is. I understand is I'm trying not to surprise anybody when I come and sit at the table. You know, that's going to be a rare event or a rare occurrence, and
yes. Yeah.
It's about communication.
It is. Yeah. And I want to recognize, I saw Liz sitting over there. I want to recognize that having, some of us come to some of the discussions about the HCPs and the state, forest management plan, I think that helped tremendously. The other thing that helped me a lot was getting out in the field with you and Brian, and Mike, that day. Those sorts of things can go a long ways toward making us kind of understand where everybody's coming from and making decisions much more quickly.
I think that's a good idea, and we have subcommittee processes, which were, I think Tom intended those as a way to be more efficient. And sometimes they have worked efficiently where there's a subgroup working collaboratively with staff to work through the issue. But in other cases, then it comes back to the full board and we have to sort of all rework everything, but I think that's something that I've made a note to really, you know, how the board functions, how the board works. What I said was how board members work more collaboratively with staff, and that's a process that, and sort of a, you said we need to spend some more time on how we're going to function and get our work done, and I think that's something we need to, I think, have a further topic on. So that's a different one.
I think, I mean, to me, some of that question that Brenda raised, and I appreciate the importance of it, goes back to getting clarity on the direction that we're giving, right? That we're not vague in the original direction, because I think that's started the problem. But I appreciate, Peter, you referencing the subcommittee process, because I'm also, you know, the general point, which is like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bullet points down on the long page, you know, that the authority to act is granted to the board as a whole, not to individual members. It like ties to, if we're going to work collaboratively, it needs to be a structure and a process, right? That's tied back to the group as a whole.
Well, I don't think anybody is suggesting otherwise. We also have to be mindful of public meetings requirements and not be making decisions in a way that's inappropriate.
I have a comment on that, because I think, you know, that was one of the caveats very early on in education, be very careful about that public meetings law. And I think, but then, you know, meeting with you, Peter, you're just saying, you know, why don't you just call me once in a while? I mean, going back to this communication issue, and I found that I was being too hesitant to call Peter or Liz or whatever. I mean, the public meeting law does not stop us from doing that kind of thing. And I think
it does stop is an ad hoc group of three people meeting with staff and then saying, well, we'll do this. Now, it's fine to have that meeting and it's fine to suggest things. It's not fine to make a decision.
But I think that's the key point.
Yeah.
I mean, if three out of the seven of us meet with staff and discuss an issue and come to some agreement that this might be a good way to present it to the board, then it's probably going to have a higher chance of being successful than if nobody met with the staff and they bring something to the board.
Yeah, and I'll just be honest, we've seen that work and we've seen that fail miserably in the past, not with this board. But I do think
I do think what Neil said, I think some of the problems that we can have with staff is when it's a really difficult issue and there actually really isn't anything resembling agreement on the part of the board, there is a tendency to say in a fairly vague way, well, go spring some magic something on this and come back to us. And I think that's what can be frustrating staff because they really haven't been given much direction. And one thing we should do about that is to say, is to actually ask, do you understand what we want? And let people say, no, we don't really know what you're talking about. We don't understand what you want. And kind of getting ourselves clearer about what the request is. Which is not always an easy thing to do because there isn't fundamental agreement about it. But we should be able to decide what we want to be brought back as a result of that. And maybe it's a couple different things. I know we've gotten into this situation over various times over at least the years that I've been here, where, and you know, sometimes you get a little worn out and it is kind of, yeah, bring something back that we'll all like, and we don't know what that is, you know.
The one other thing that is the role of the chair of the board. We're not speaking to that beyond running the meeting. Are there any other expectations about the roles, responsibilities of the board, or how other board members bring issues? Right now it's all bringing them to you. And what is the role of the board chair?
And so what we do have, I think, is the board under the provisions of 526.009 sub 1, chairperson has the following powers and duties. The duties of a presiding office is prescribed by the Roberts Rules of Order. The duty to appoint standing and ad hoc committees pursuant to another law, cooperation with the state forest, the duty to determine where board meetings are held. And Tom does all those things. I think, I don't know what the first, actually, what all the duties of a presiding office, that just running the meeting.
When they say powers, it really eludes me.
I think we'll make a note of that, but.
To the degree that there are concerns about our governance, our operations, to what degree is it our expectation that any of us are communicating with the board chair, right? As a matter of course, about concerns about how we are functioning or about how you are performing.
I assume maybe you all know that if you tell me something, I usually tell Tom. And if you tell Tom something that's it's relevant, I'm the board secretary. So my role is to support the board. And the way I do that is if I am hearing concerns, I try to bring them to the board chair and talk through on how to address. So, I would hope that would be clear to everybody.
Somewhat related to that, I seem to recall a couple of points of conversation at our October meeting that had to do with not just subcommittees or ad hoc committees, but like liaison positions and whatnot. And I don't know if we want to come up with the full list of sort of what is the duties and responsibilities of the chair and how do you go about it. But that kind of a thing, I think we came up with some recommendations about how it would be approached in the future with new board members coming on and saying, so I'd be interested in this. But it might be worth, if we're trying to capture a standardized approach on governance, we've got a procedure now, but you're about to end your term as chair, and it might be worth memorializing that for the next person in that position.
You know, it's, I think some about this because in Oregon State, our system of boards and commissions, there are some boards and commissions where the governor appoints the chair, and there are some boards and commissions where the board elects the chair. I kind of go back and forth between what I think is a better way to do it. But I also believe that it's really important for effectiveness, no matter how it's done, for the chair to have a pretty strong relationship with the governor and the governor's office. Because I think to be effective, that's important. And I don't think I would want to be a chair of a board or commission in Oregon if I didn't think that was the case, because unless the governor didn't care about it at all, and then it would be fine, right? I haven't had the luxury of being on one of those. Well, I mean, there are some important things done that way, but that where, you know, more or less have the responsibility. But I think this is not a bad thing to think about. I think, for example, it would be a good idea when somebody's coming on the board to say, and we have these liaison positions, and if you have an interest in one, let me know. Now, I still think it's what the chair has to be thinking about as a multiple, you know, what's going to be the right fit and how does that work within the board. But I think getting people to express their interest is a good idea. So I'm not sure what other things might be like that, but I those interests can change over time, as well, obviously. That's right. So.
Okay. And that's clearly a responsibility of the chair that's not enumerated in the administrative rule that you just read.
Well, I haven't gone back and looked at Robert's rules to know what it may be listed in there.
But not in Robert's rules.
Oh, okay. So
that's all about parliamentary procedure.
All right. So, and some of them, it will vary. Oh, sorry. Some of them, one of them's in statute. So the OWEB thing is in statute. The legislature has assigned that role. The DQ is a board created liaison. The audit committee is an external organization that says if you have an internal auditor, it needs to have a board member. So, it would probably be good to have, and I just wrote down that a procedure for assigning liaisons in other positions. Because we have one, but we haven't documented it as like another governance process to sort of work out. Yes.
So this is just a suggestion, not something that I think everybody's going to agree with. But Liz, can I put you on the spot for just a second? It'll surprise you, so I'm supporting. If you had a question regarding the revised forest management plan, and you wanted to go get some input from one of the board members, how would you decide who to go to?
It can be a little bit depending on the actual part of the plan. The main approach I'm trying to take is to make rounds.
Would it be helpful if there were one or several of us kind of identified as people that you could call whenever you wanted to?
I like the idea of that. What I would avoid is we had to have to be happy to substitute.
Yeah.
Where there was a standing team.
Right.
And that was, I would argue, not efficient at all.
Yeah, I'm thinking more of not necessarily a formal subcommittee, but just people who you know and we know you could call. I mean, you can call any of us, obviously, and maybe that's the best approach. But it might be helpful for you and Kyle and the other division chiefs to kind of have some people that you know that are interested and may have be able to help be helpful and probably have a couple of people with very different perspectives on the issue that tap
and
into.
And that's really important for us to see, but when we come to you as the board, we're not surprising you.
All right. Can I bring us back to task? Kind of where we're at. We've talked about avoid surprises. We had another suggestion for agreeing with a decision or respecting a decision. There are three other bullets. Any feelings on those?
Just trying to take action only after hearing the department's recommendations. Have we ever not done that?
Riparian rules. And it was successful.
Well, we heard the recommendation.
No, we were actually told not to make recommendations, if you'll recall.
The
recommendations came from a board.
We asked to?
Board something.
Because I did this. we asked two board members to sort of sponsor different approaches to solving the problem. And to work with the department, however, in doing that, so that they were, they hung together, they had the right issues addressed in them.
And we fully supported.
And by the way, the two members who did that didn't do it as the champions necessarily of what they developed, but they were two different ideas, and we actually didn't adopt one of them over the other one, but I think they helped to inform the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, so I think it's something we do, but I think it's just something that's important to remember. I think we do it, but I think it's just important that we always make sure that we do that.
So it may not be so much the department's recommendation that we need before we take action, but certainly the department's briefing on the issue.
And I would say I generally, actually don't do what I did.
That's your way?
Because I think that part of our, I think if you're the state forester, that you should have a recommendation and that should represent the department. And that doesn't mean that that's what we do. And we may say, well, we would like a series of recognizing different approaches. But I would generally think that you know, that's why we pay them the big bucks is because they need to come in. That person needs to come in.
I absolutely agree. Cause I think there does tend to be, circumstances where a lot is said, but it's not real clear what is being recommended. And so I think having the expectation that staff will make a recommendation clear is always a good.
But thinking back, you are right. We did have sort of.
That was the only time since I've been there.
But in that particular instance, I think coming in with a single recommendation would not have been as helpful as coming in with two fully analyzed approaches.
Yeah. That's what it was meant to do because.
And so it's I think that was probably the only way to actually succeed on that instance.
Who knows? We couldn't do an experiment.
Yeah. That's true.
Anyway, I agree. I mean, that's the way it worked.
It did work. And so I maybe broaden the language. You know, sometimes, most of the times, I think we do hear a recommendation, but there, in that instance, we heard a lot of very good information from the department, but we heard choices. Articulated choices.
Well, I think we did say, make a recommendation, make a decision.
Yeah.
Finally, but.
Yeah. The other thing I say on the subcommittees is, you know, it is a way of incorporating public involvement as you do the work. I think the problem when you try to, and I think it's worked well on the federal forest side. I mean, I think that can become a forum for discussion of those issues. I think when you try to do it with the
state forests, it's too big an issue, and you're going to do it all over again at the full board level. And so it doesn't, it's just not.
It's also too controversial.
Well, that, and
compared
that's,
to the federal forest.
That's what I meant by too big an issue. Yeah. I mean, it was not a great way to deal with it.
Okay, great.
That was new.
I'm kind of hearing, I'm not asking for a decision at this point.
Right.
We have 5 minutes, but I didn't hear, you know, you maybe want to do some nuance to that one. What about respect to right of board members to have differing opinions and ideas in developing policies and finding solutions to problems? Is respect the right word?
We should have.
Okay.
I mean, that's why we're a board.
Well, I guess the only comment I have on that is that trying to give it something different than what we've already got up in the bullets from the governor's handbook?
I didn't see something. Well, maybe it's the same as listen to all viewpoints.
Yeah, that was kind of my
thought. So is it redundant then? Great.
Yeah.
All right. One less to maintain over time. Understand that the board sets standards for the department through board policy.
Remember the history of why
it just came. I don't know if it was one we talked about, Joe, or
I'm not even sure exactly what I mean.
Why it's there.
Yeah, interestingly enough, when I looked at that one, it triggered a secondary rabbit trail for me. And that was in terms of my own expectations for myself when I came newly to the board. I was not that familiar with the different department operations. And so I invested a fair amount of time when I was new to the board coming up and, you know, spending an afternoon successively with each division chief just to be briefed on what in the heck, you know, how are you set up? What are your issues? How do you deal with? And so, yes, we do set standards for department through board policy, but we sure as heck can't do that unless we have a real good understanding of what the department's business is. And we come to the board, I think, from a lot of different places, and some of us are more intimately connected with the department's business when we start on the board than others. But there's no way that we can work effectively, I think, as a board member unless we really have a thorough understanding of the business of the department.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything. I think what that's driving at is our role. You know, it's defining specifically what is the role of this body. And it's
that is in statute.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the roles are, the formal roles are spelled out specifically in statute and also what we can't do.
But that's not, so I agree with that, but are there other roles that this body should have to help the department do a good job?
So
if so, then maybe we should articulate those so that everybody understands that.
So this is a board that is both a policy board and a governing board. Some boards are only policy boards. Some boards are only advisory board. The difference, so you set policy for the state of Oregon on all forest lands under the authority of the state. The previous boards, this board has stretched that policy and is, in a sense, change it to where we're now setting policy on federal land as well through collaborative processes. A governing board hires the director of the department, and so they have some governing responsibility over the department as well.
So perhaps an expansion of whatever concept is in this bullet to more comprehensively identify the roles of the board. We set policy, we hire the.
So, do we provide advice to staff when they ask for advice? Is that not our role?
Yeah,
I guess that's. We probably need to think about this some more and come back and flush this out. But I think for new board members coming on, if the only thing that they see themselves doing is setting policy and hiring someone, to me, it should go far beyond that. It should be.
What is that bullet at the top of the long list that says if you come with the technical expertise, you're expected to share that?
You provide the board with your technical expertise.
Oh, that's right. So.
And bring the point group to the board. I think, so this one sounds like it's not quite ready for prime time. It needs some expansion. Great.
You know, one other idea that's just coming to me, playing up with what Brenda was saying, since we are talking specifically about Board of Forestry member expectations, I can think of one that might be specific to the Board of Forestry, and that would be just get out in the woods, get in the dust, and get in the mud.
And that was, again, that was, I think, probably all of us when we came new on the board.
And get up at 3:30 in the morning and count merlets.
Division chiefs probably also met with a number of the stakeholder groups and got out in the woods with them. And I think both of those things are equally important to make sure we understand what the department does and what the stakeholder interests are.
I'd like to try to get to really closure on this.
Yeah, so. we're gonna. Oh yes, it's, I got 1 minute to close. So the one that I think is missing is you don't. There isn't any expectation for creating a safe environment, safe working environment. And something like a lot of boards say commit to fostering an environment that respects all individuals and it seeks and values diverse perspectives. And this is one of my core values around diversity, equity, and inclusion. You can't have that if you don't create an inclusive work environment. So that wasn't suggested. So I think the next steps, I'll move just to next steps.
I want to make sure we're clear on this and that you understand.
Yeah.
I agree with that one, but I think that one needs some more thought too.
Great. Thank you. I think so what I would propose is what I've heard, and stop me when I'm wrong. What I've heard is that the board likes the idea of having a bulleted list and concur with the governor's, set of expectations should be listed in there. We have a list of some additional ones that the board would like to mull on and think about and spend a little bit more time on before you adopt them.
And one thing that I, even though I'm trying to wrap this up, that I don't know is on the list, but I think we should give some thought to, is almost an opportunity for, I'm not sure quite how it would be done, for staff evaluation of the board. More of a 360 situation, not by board member, but, you know, what things could we do better? What suggestions as a board in terms of, I think it'd be good to get that kind of feedback, and figure out how to facilitate that on an annual basis.
So. Great. And so, what I've also heard, just to really wrap up, is that there are some policies you want to work on. I've heard some new ones today, and you do want to begin to put those in writing. So next steps for me is to start a simple bylaws document for this board to look at, and then I will compile the new list of complete governance topics that we have discussed and try to get a priority on that. Is that fair?
That is, I think I included, and I don't know if everybody else agrees, but I think we ought to also look at our Division 10 administrative rules. And so, you know, because we've got some stuff that we're now proposing to go into bylaw that looks very similar to some stuff that's an administrative rule. We've got, you know, I mean, back and forth. I think we need to look at what goes in unofficial bylaws and what goes in administrative.
I think we want to be. I just didn't know how much discussion we would have, and I probably included too much in this topic to get to. So I think we got to sort of two of the objectives, and that's good. So we'll cover those later.
So
is that fair?
Yes, I see that's fine. Great.